1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Today I talked to a member of a band that in the near future will need no introduction. This is The Good Things from Tokyo, Japan. While you're listening to this interview, please take a moment to read the accompanying text and purchase their EP on Bandcamp. Name your own price. All money goes towards recording their next project. Thanks. So how did The Good Things form?
Well, there's myself. My name is Mike, and there's a guy called Tosh and his wife Kayo and a guy called Fuji. And about 6 or so years ago, I was playing in a band and Tosh was playing in a band. And then Tosh's lead singer went back to New Zealand. And so he gave me a call and he's like, "Mike, do you want to make a band together?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course." So
nice.
Yeah.
Now you guys have a nice modern yet retro sound. How did that come about? I mean, what are you guys' influences and who contributes what to your sound?
I think it's a little bit Elvis sort of influence. We like Elvis. We like we play Hound Dog sometimes when we do covers, like slotting a cover in a show. And I also like that song, "Hey Baby."
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yep,
The Dirty Dancing soundtrack. So yeah, that was a bit of an influence. You know, just something that can get people kind of moving. And you know. Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the music scene like in Tokyo, Japan? Because that's where you guys are for our band right now.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We've got a lot of really good quality bands from different genres. And I guess like the expat scene and the local scene are, they overlap sometimes. But more often than not, we're playing at different venues. So
now you're originally an Australian, but you were raised in Germany and now you're in Japan. How do you feel that's influenced you, and are the music scenes there different than Tokyo?
I think in a way they are. There's a lot more like commercial stuff in Japan. It's kind of if you see anything on TV, it's going to have kind of like a plastic sort of superficial feel about it. But as soon as you go to the clubs and the underground, the clubs, then you get a lot of sort of innovative, you know, rock and synth stuff going on. And yeah, it's pretty good.
So does it kind of get into like EDM and trance and all that stuff in the way too, or?
It's definitely that scene too, like at the bigger clubs. But if you go to like the dirty sort of gritty clubs, in Shimokitazawa, Shibuya, Shinjuku, then you can get some good quality stuff and some good legit rock.
Mm-hmm. Now what made you want to move to Japan too? Because that seems like such an odd move for some.
It was kind of. I just finished university and I got a job sort of in hospitality and just to make some money to travel around the world. And Japan was my last destination. I was originally just going to stay there for a working holiday, and which is 6 months. And life is pretty good here. So I thought, while you're on a good thing, let's keep it going, you know.
Nice. Now, has The Good Things played outside of Japan, like Oceania, you know, anywhere in Oceania or the States even, or?
No, we're talking about that over a beer the other day. We'd like to do that. Tosh's old band Sunset Drive did a tour of Europe and tour of Japan, and the band that I'm also in at the moment, called the Mutekis, we did a tour of New York.
Nice.
A while ago. So we're definitely itching to get out with The Good Things at some point. Yeah.
Now, being from the internet generation, how do you feel the internet has helped unsigned artists, you know, an indie artist or an underground artist such as yourself, get known? Because, like, I love to point out things like, like this. Think about this. You're in Japan. I'm in the United States, and you know, we know of the good things. So how do you think it's changed from, say, 1994 to 2014?
That's a good question, man. I'm not entirely sure, man, to be honest.
Yeah.
I sort of, like, at this point, I'm a little bit Facebook savvy. I know a bit about Twitter, and Reverb Nation, we're on there, but it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a day.
Well, because I'm thinking, like, I was in bands throughout the 90s, and, like, in 1994, like, if we knew somebody in St. Louis that had heard of my band, I would, you know, we were freaking out. And here you are, you know, you're reaching people, you know, like, if you look at your Facebook likes and Twitter followers and stuff, you know, they're all over the world.
Yeah,
it's not just within your area and people who've seen you live.
So,
what do you think about, do you think the internet's helping or hurting, basically, is what I'm saying?
I think, yeah, it's got to be helping, like, in some way, because, like you said, you know, like, a couple of decades ago, you couldn't, like, people in another country just would never hear about you. So, yeah, it's definitely helping bands get out. Yeah, I think you really, to make the most of it, I think you really need to know what you're doing, you know, the sites and, yeah.
Well, let's talk about the Good Things EP. It's eponymous, right? I mean, it's called The Good Things.
Yeah. We got a bit lazy.
Well, I mean, it's all good, though. It's all good. I mean, well, how did you come up with the songs? Because the songs from track 1 to 4, you know, kind of flow right into each other. It's almost like a story.
Oh, cool, man.
You know,
to hear that, man. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Well, I call it a traveling disc. It's a disc that, like, you could take, you know, if it was on a disc or an MP3. I'm showing my age here a little bit, but what I mean by traveling disc, it's like something I could listen to while I'm taking a road trip and not, you know, fish around track by track finding my favorites. I mean, it's something you could just let run.
Actually, someone else said they, when they listened to it, they imagined they were, like, driving through, like, the middle of America, like, middle America, just sort of cruising along a highway with, you know, nothing around them, you know, like, so I think it's got that kind of, yeah, laid back sort of feel about it. The songs, like the first few songs were kind of songs that we'd written while we were in our respective bands. And then, but we couldn't play them with those bands because they didn't really fit into the style. And then we just came together. And when we write songs, we're often, you know, kicking back in Tosh's living room, sort of eating pizza, homemade pizza. And you know, drinking beer, so naturally there's a laid back vibe to the songs. I think
it kind of shows in the music too, because it's kind of, you know, like it's, you know, loose yet tight at the same time. And I mean, what I mean by loose is it just seems like loose in attitude, you know, yeah, kind of like a laid back, you know, like, feel to it, which is really cool. I mean, it's relaxing, yet, you know, they could all be party songs.
You know.
if that makes any sense. But well, let me ask you this: if you could pick one song off that EP and the rest you had to throw away, which would it be?
What? Tricky, man.
That's hard, isn't it? Because your answer will be different tomorrow, probably.
Yeah, man. Exactly. I like that. I like them all for different reasons. You know, like, the first song is definitely, like, the vibe that we were going for from the beginning.
Did she call me baby?
Yeah, she called me baby. Hey, baby. you know, that's what we wanted, you know. And
yeah, and that's got a really good vibe to it. I mean, that's like a good opener.
Yeah, I think if we had to go with one song, it would be that song. But the others sort of have their own sort of quality, mm-hmm. I think.
Now, what's a good thing show like? If I were to fly out there and see you guys live, what am I going to expect?
You'll see maybe two drunk guys at the front of the stage. drunk chick, you know, playing the bass, and the drummer's usually got his shit together. But people always are dancing from the beginning, and we have one song on the EP called Here I Come, and that's an instant sort of crowd bouncer, you know, like people start, you know, jumping around and getting silly. So yeah, it's got a good
What covers do you play? Are you still at the point where you're playing covers too, or?
We do a gig at a place called What the Dickens, which is our second home. It's a British pub in a place called Ebbis, and to play there, one of the requirements is to, because you're doing three sets, so one of the requirements is to sort of fill in the rest of your sets with covers. Unless you have 30 originals, you can't really sort of, you know, get all the way through. But we play Santeria.
Sublime.
Sublime. What else do we play? We only played the other day, so it shouldn't be too hard to remember. I had a big weekend. Helter Skelter by...
Nice. Beatles.
What else do we do? We do Foster the People, Pumped Up Kicks. We do some classic Strawberry Fields, Dire Maker by Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of, laid back, half laid back. We also do Killing in the Name of.
that's a pretty eclectic mix.
Up and down, man.
Beatles and all that. I mean, Killing in the Name of. Wow. how do you mix Rage Against the Machine in with the Beatles, man?
I think when you're drunk enough, anything works. You know.
So, true.
Yeah, true. Just somehow it works. I don't know.
Now, are you guys in the process of writing a full album or?
Yeah, we are. We've got a lot of songs hanging around. It's definitely not too far away. I think another EP or a full album, depending on how we feel.
Then the big tour and all that stuff, or
yeah, I think it's leading up to something big. We haven't quite figured out what that is yet, but that's gonna come around sooner or later.
Yeah. Now, do you guys manage yourself, or do you have a manager and a PR firm and a booking agent and everything else?
We'd love to have a manager, at the moment we've got some people helping us out, like at the street level, but no official manager, and we're just sort of playing it by ear. Yeah.
So to anybody out there, you are looking for a manager.
Interested, man. We're more than happy to.
Now where can we find you online?
I didn't prepare this, man.
Well, I've got the good things at .bandcamp.com with three O's. All these are gonna have three O's, right?
All of them three O's, man.
Yeah, and then the good things on Facebook and the good things on SoundCloud. Now is goodthings.com up yet or?
No, okay. we're sort of like, we're getting the Facebook and Twitter thing, sort of following going. And then, when the time's right, we'll launch that, but, not anytime soon. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, you guys sound great, man. I mean, the only way I can describe it's modern retro.
Okay, man. we get the Strokes.
Yeah.
Quite often, even though I don't think we sound too much like them, but somebody said we sounded like a happier version of the Strokes.
I see it. I see it in some of the stuff. I see a little Pixies in there too.
Oh, that's cool, man.
You know, Little Pixies, and actually, I see, you know, well, like Sublime, and you know, and maybe a little. What is it? Not Jack White. The White Stripes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Those are
all bands that we channel, definitely.
Yeah. And yeah, well, you guys meld it so well. I mean, it's almost like a melting pot of just pure talent, man. I mean, really, because you guys are catchy, you know, you guys have every song has the hook. You know, what seems like is the best hook in it, but then it's also, you know, it's also interesting. It's not. It's like there were sometimes, even though, you know how like some songs when they have a hook, you can guess the hook before you hear it.
Yeah,
that's not really like the case with you guys, because I mean, there were times where I couldn't guess the hook, but it fit. It totally fit after I heard it. You know, non-musicians aren't going to know what the hell I'm talking about right now, but the hook is what you want. You want a hook in every song.
Yeah, for real.
Mike, thanks for being on Jammerzine, man.
Dude, Ryan, absolute pleasure.